You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, this is disturbing. So, the Texans Daily and Sports Illustrated did a piece, Mike Fisher. It landed an hour ago. And it's about the webs of relationships. It's Buffalo Bills staffers Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll. Daboll is the offensive coordinator, doing a hell of a job with Josh Allen. Doing a hell of a job. So that in itself should get Daboll some looks, right? I mean, he's doing a hell of a job with Josh Allen. But and it also involves agent Bob Lamont, who is the agent for Schoen and Daboll. He's also the agent for Jack Easterby. I can't guarantee interviews for Schoen and Daboll, but I can guarantee why Easterby will push for them as candidates. The why is about the powerful Lamont, who just happens to represent Schoen, the Bills' assistant GM, and Daboll, the Bills' offensive coordinator. Lamont also happens to serve as the agent for Easterby. It's simple. If Lamont gets his guys in, Easterby keeps his job. That's part one of this. Now, breaking that down, here's the deal. Jack Easterby has to keep this job because Jack Easterby will not get another job in an NFL team. No, this is it for Jack Easterby in the NFL. And he hasn't built a really good name for himself business-wise either. I mean, in any business.
What do you mean?
If I look at, well, Jack Easterby's a climber. Jack Easterby, yeah. If I'm going to bring him into my corporation, everybody's all of a sudden got to watch their back because Jack Easterby is going to be
good. They say he's a good talker, though.
Yeah.
Really good communicator. I think he has some good things, good qualities to him, but his desire to be a climber there's a set of circumstances that looks, for me, it's unfortunate for my football team, so I'm going to call him out on the moves that are bad for my football team. And he's been a big part of it. He was incompetent in that role. He had no business being in that role. He has no business doing contracts. He has no business making personnel moves. He has no business with that. None. At no point does he have any business. He hasn't put in enough time to learn in those areas. And there's competent people who were in place who could have done that. Even if they missed, that's what their jobs were. That's what Chris Olsen's job is. That's what Brian Gaines' job was. And if they're going to miss, let them miss and they can get fired for whatever they do. But for Jack to do that, you know, this is really not a personal thing for me. It is personal in the sense that these climbers who are willing to sacrifice organizations for their own personal gain, he wouldn't view it that way, but that's how I view it because that's what happened.
Yeah.
O'Brien did the same thing. I don't have respect for that. Nope. I don't have respect for how they did certain people. But I can tell you, Bill, I think, is an open book. You know, he runs hot, cold, hot, cold. And Bill has had issues with a lot of different people. We know that. I don't think Jack has as many issues with people behind the scenes, but what do you take away from him? What's his resume now?
The people who were fired know where it came from. They have issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know.
What's his resume look like?
Ooh, Jack Easterby's? Well, we know what it looks like.
What's he done? What's he truly done?
No, I mean, this is not an argument.
But like Bill Belichick still likes him fine.
That's clearly established already.
But Bill Belichick likes him fine still.
No, he likes him, but he said he's not a personnel guy.
No.
He's not a personnel guy.
He's not.
I mean, he flatly said he's not a personnel guy. So then that's part one of this article. Part two is Jed Hughes. The problem with Jed Hughes of Korn Ferry, another source recently told TexansDaily.com, that their history says that what they really do is very narrow. Hughes' big connections are Ron Wolf, Bill Polian, and Charlie Casserly. If you are friends of those three and kiss the right ass, they endorse you. Which brings us to the Lamont Easterby connection. Obviously, we just talked about Bill O'Brien. As with the friends of Hughes, who are Wolf, Polian, and Casserly, those in Lamont stable are not necessarily lacking in talent. It so happens that in the 32-team NFL, seven head coaches are Lamont clients. One of those is Sean McDermott, who is going to promote to Lamont, Schoen, and Daboll, right? There's nothing with Lamont being a kingmaker. There's everything right about considering candidates from winning franchises and about a coach and GM candidates who already work well. the problem with this is he going to be, is Lamont going to just get his guys in, or is he going to get the best guys in? Is he getting Daboll or Sean in to make sure that Jack Easterby keeps his job, or are you getting the best guys for the job?
That's the problem with having an agent who is who has too much potential power in a building.
Right.
I think that's that. I think it may be a little overplayed, though. I don't think. You just never know. You just never know. But hopefully, you won't have an agent running this entire coaching search and GM search.
Well, you've heard of Mike Borgonzi as a candidate, right?
Yeah, and he's a Lamont guy.
He's a Lamont guy. He's Nick Caserio, Lamont guy.
Nick Caserio makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Borgonzi makes sense on the outside. What I've been told is, on the outside, Borgonzi makes sense, but insiders know it's more Ryan Poles is the guy who's got the more upward ascension. Yeah. Borgonzi, because he's got a higher title, is the one who people focus on.
Yeah. And,
but that's why you got to know guys around the league.
He's a Lamont guy.
Yeah.
And that's who Jack Easterby would certainly promote.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need this guy.
We've been through this on the show. I told you that I had somebody in the NFL tell me, this is, I don't know, 3 weeks ago I brought it up on the show, Borgonzi, Daboll. That's because he went through his list of this guy literally held me on the phone and he went through the list of Lamont clients. He goes, yep, Daboll for sure, Borgonzi. And I'm like, that can't be that simple that you just hit guys who are clients.
If that's it.
And he said, if Jack, now this is before Jack had that article come out.
But even still, what's happened since then? Nothing. Yeah. Actually, what's happened since then? Deshaun Watson is going to a fan who's got a sign that says fire Jack Easterby and telling him how disrespectful it is.
It kind of is disrespectful. Chaplin or charlatan. I could see where Deshaun might not give a crap if Jack stays, but he may say, hey, you don't need to. This is a good guy. You don't need to. Like, Deshaun could like him, but not want him to stay. Do you really think Deshaun cares if Jack Easterby stays?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Does that mean to Deshaun?
Well, because you know that Jack Easterby tied his wagon.
Deshaun's got more juice than Jack Easterby.
He hitched his wagon to Deshaun Watson when he walked in the door. He could not. I would imagine he just bends over backwards for Deshaun Watson because he knew he was the franchise.
Yeah.
You know, well, we saw smart, the article would, yeah. about when he was at South Carolina. You're sitting there talking to him. You're an assistant equipment guy, and Jack Easterby's like, "Wait, you're great, great, great." But as soon as a coach walked in the room or a star player, he didn't even know you were there anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, that's Jack Easterby. This whole thing just stinks. This whole thing. I mean, why are we talking about? I mean, I can't believe we're talking about this stuff. I can't believe our teams with James Harden. And Jack Easterby and trash can banging. Our teams suck. Our teams, this just is a giant soap opera as opposed to sports. What the happened to sports? Playing Oklahoma City in the opener today. The Rockets are one of the leading contenders to win the West this year.
No, they're not.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah, are they? Said it. They got two superstars.
Who?
They got two superstars.
Who are the superstars?
John Wall and James Harden.
The one who hasn't played in 2 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
and
really?
Did
Kevin Durant play last year?
And the one who doesn't want to play, period, for you?
Yeah, both of them.
And John Wall's accomplished how much?
Oh, you never saw him in Kentucky?
No one did. How many games did he play?
Not many, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's a great, great player. I mean, you got the great duos, LeBron and AD, Durant and Kyrie, James and
in the
Wall.
Strip club. Oh, what?
James and Wall.
No, the great duo in Houston is James and the strip club.
Well, no. I mean, they go together like peanut butter and jelly.
It's one of the more unbeatable duos of all time.
They go together well, don't they?
It is the Reese's peanut butter cup, the peanut butter and chocolate. It really is the strip club and James, you're right. James has openly branded himself a strip club guy. Like, there's no, I don't think there's any.
No, it's a nice brand.
It's just a different time. You would have never had openly branded, like, hey, look who it is. It's like Magic Johnson was a freak. I've heard the stories about Magic, the parties he had.
Well,
Yeah, because of it. Magic, like, that never made it out there. That wasn't a...
No.
There was no TMZ, but that wasn't a major part of his branding. Like, hey, Magic likes to have these crazy sex parties. Like, that wasn't a...
That wasn't part of his brand.
He's like, the Converse weapon. That's the shoe. You saw that. Magic and Larry Bird showing up.
No, you know who caught it was James Worthy because of the hooker.
Yeah. Right. James is trying to mind his own business.
Man, I'm trying to pay and go. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I'm trying to just keep it low profile. Yeah. And you guys are breaking my balls over this?
Right.
Come on. Got guy, they retired his jersey. This is where it's come from. Ready? Player, hooker, arrested. Now, strip clubs retire jerseys.
Yeah.
That's where we are now. Yeah. It used to be James Worthy got caught for the, and now it's like, hey, we're going to retire. Can we have your jersey? What do you want it for? We want to retire it. Absolutely. You want me to sign it too?
Just unbelievable.
It's a different NBA era.
All right. Gilbert's going to want to talk about the Texans on the other side.
It's about time. We got some Gilbert talk.
Yeah. 713-780-3776 if you want to talk after Gilbert. I don't know why you would want to do that, but if you want to. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, I'm talking about KleinsJewelry.com. KleinsJewelry.com. Mark Klein is just unbelievable. It's the holiday season, and dude is just killing it. He is just killing it at KleinsJewelry.org. KleinsJewelry.org. 190,000 different loose diamonds that you can choose from. 25% off the holidays. You shop the sale. It's use promo code VIPKleins25. You can get this job done still, people. But listen, we're down to a couple of days left here, and you might exchange tomorrow. So you got to get this done. Go see Mark right now, Fountain View and Westheimer. And Mark Klein is going to make this holiday season. He has saved me. I can't tell you how many times he has saved me. Like, I was, oh, my God, what am I going to get? I go see Klein on Christmas Eve. Done. And she's like, it's the best Christmas ever. I'm telling you, this has happened. This is a true story, and it can happen for you as well. You get there. It's 5868 Westheimer. He's right there at Fountain View and Westheimer. Or you give him a call, 832-516-1388. He'll do it over the phone with you. He's going to give you the best deal in the city on loose diamonds. It's KleinsJewelry.org.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All righty then. 713-780-3776. Gilbert has some thoughts on the Texans and the coaching and GM search. Let's bring him in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Gilbert.
Yeah, I got an idea.
What do you got?
You don't believe this, but I think you should be a coach for the Texans anyway.
Me?
What?
What?
Hello?
Yeah.
What?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
I think Jack and I should coach for the Texans anyway.
I think so. What? You know what? How come my name isn't being thrown around like Gilbert's throwing it around right now? Gilbert, I think you're onto something here. Why do you think I'd make a good...
Yeah, Merry Christmas all you guys, anyway.
Merry Christmas to you.
That's not a transition. And Frankie and all your family, John, and your family too, Lance.
Thank you.
How come he doesn't remember the boy? He just remembers the two women in your family?
Yeah. What about
JT?
What about JT?
Merry Christmas to him too, also, anyway. I don't know. Yeah, boy, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
he doesn't care about that. Did you call Wendy
anyway,
yet? Did you call Wendy yet?
No,
that
I don't
wasn't
number
me.
No more. I lost it.
You don't have her number anymore?
John, get him the number.
No, I lost it. I lost it.
Gilbert, don't lie.
Are you lying, Gilbert?
Wait a minute. They won't work there no more anyway, so.
Yeah.
Will you call Wendy Kennard anyway? Wait. You don't get Dan Lovett to be on her. On a program, you know.
What does Dave Ward have to do with Wendy?
Anyway,
Dave, well,
you know,
Wendy's the general.
Yeah, you know, like, something?
What?
Back in the old days, you know?
Yeah.
I listened to the Order Radio Network. Dan Lovett and Ron Franklin and Dave Ward.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and in the booth anyway, you know. You don't remember that, do you?
Yeah, I remember it.
Do you, Lance? You remember that, do you, Lance?
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't remember them being in the booth.
Yeah, they're in the booth, remember? You don't remember?
Yeah, you remember that, Lance?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
What?
I said I don't remember that.
What?
I said I don't remember that.
They went on the air anyway, you know.
What's right. that?
You were 8 years old when they would be on the radio.
Yeah, one day, yeah.
Dan Lovett and Ron Franklin.
Yeah.
Are you coming to the Christmas party or not?
What? Where that will be? That's tomorrow or what?
No, we got canceled because you canceled it.
Okay, then. Well
wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
Now, last time you left us with...
Can you play what he said last time?
What did he say last time?
Keep those egg rolls frying, bye.
Keep those egg rolls frying.
Keep those egg rolls frying, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Where did you get that? Where did that come from?
What?
Where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Why did you think of that?
My old DJ a long time ago did a 60-seater. He said, keep them flying, you know, so...
Is keep those egg rolls frying your new catchphrase?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, how about something?
My old DJ used to do the pressure of Benny down 60 City, you know, at the intercom, they say, keep them flying. Reba Nancy, keep them flying.
Keep them flying. Oh.
About a long time ago.
So you said keep them frying.
I got
it. Gentlemen.
Yeah. What?
1973 was my favorite year. Never forget about that.
Well, what happened in
1973?
What happened in 1973?
We bought a new house.
You bought a new house?
Nice. The one where you live right now?
Yeah, that was 1973.
Wait, do you still live there?
Yeah, I still live here. We still got the house anyway.
So
don't offend him. Don't disrespect him.
He was the president of Nixon and Order 113 anyway, you know?
Yeah.
What was that? What else did you like about night? What are your favorite things that happened?
Going through it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
I can't understand.
What else?
I'm sorry.
Remember,
go through.
I remember a report got who died that year. Bill and his father passed away that year anyway.
Who?
Bart Ennis's
father.
Oh, Bart Ennis's father passed away. Okay.
Bart Ennis's father passed away.
Yeah.
What else happened in 73? The good stuff.
That shouldn't be why it's your favorite year, but go ahead.
The good stuff.
Yeah,
the good stuff.
What was the...
No, that's not the good stuff. Gilbert, what was the good stuff in 73? Yeah, what are your favorite things?
He told you. Some guy died.
No, that's not the best thing. It was Bart Ennis's dad.
What about musically?
Yeah, what was the number one song?
Bad Bad Leo Bar by Jim Croce and Tired Room by the Old Tree by 29 on Dawn.
Never forget that anyway.
What was the second song he said?
Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
Oh, Tony Orlando on Dawn. Okay.
Yeah. Do you love Tony Orlando on Dawn? So what? But what else happened? You were how old? 13?
Yeah, 13 years old.
Got a new house?
Well, Marvin's under shut down the chicken ranch, you know.
That was
73?
73?
Yeah.
They made a movie about it, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Or was it a musical?
Did you see that? Did you see the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Gilbert, you said he was 13 at the time?
Yeah.
Now I'm questioning.
I don't want to ask the question anyway. I didn't like that movie anyway.
Gilbert, did you discover anything about yourself at 13?
I don't like when Dell asks questions.
What?
That wasn't me. That was him. Did you discover anything about yourself at 13 that you hadn't discovered before? Did something new in your life happen at 13?
I fall over with a 20-year-old girl at church a long time ago.
Oh, look at that. Just mining for information.
Okay?
You fell in love with her and she was 20?
Yeah, that's normal for a 13-year-old. All of us do.
Hold on.
It's usually the babysitter.
Wait a minute. She was a 20-year-old, Gilbert?
At church, yeah.
Yeah, she go to church a long time ago.
Yeah.
So now you're 13, so a 20-year-old girl is probably not going to have much interest in you. What did you think about... with her? Gilbert.
He went to church a long time ago. Okay? I never forget about that.
Yeah, was that Joel Osteen's church?
No, he wasn't around back then.
No, he wasn't around.
His dad was, though.
He was about Jody's about 11 years old when I was 1973.
Oh. Hey, Gilbert, did you think about that girl all the time anyway?
Yeah, I talked to her about the...
Leading the witness.
Yeah.
Leading the witness.
Okay. Merry Christmas, everybody, okay?
I object to this line of questioning.
Okay, bye-bye.
No, say your thing.
He's gone.
Say your catchphrase.
Oh. He just hung up.
Dell, you ruined it. You made him uncomfortable, and he took the fifth. You were leading the witness.
I'm just asking questions, gentlemen. That's all. I'm
allowed
to ask
questions. He didn't do his catchphrase.
What catchphrase? He already gave it to us.
No, he's supposed to, at the end of his call, he's supposed to say, keep those egg rolls frying.
I'm allowed to ask questions. If he doesn't want to answer them, that's okay.
You made the witness take the fifth.
I asked a question, and he said, I fell in love with this girl who was 20 years old. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. What'd you think about? And he didn't want to answer.
What do you think about leading the witnesses?
Yeah, no,
it's never, we've never led witnesses more than you just did.
Did you discover anything about your body?
I didn't say body.
You might as well have.
Yourself. I said yourself. I didn't say body. I didn't use the hammer completely. A little tap.
You might as well have.
No, you were. That was hammer job.
Listen. What I asked was.
Nicole's right. You're the worst person.
Did you discover? Yeah,
you are by far.
Did you discover,
and Marty too, probably.
Marty feels that way,
Marty loves me. Did you discover anything about yourself that you didn't know about when you turned 13? That's what I asked. I didn't say anything about his body. Mm. And it turns out we got new information. He fell in love with a 20-year-old at church. You should allow me to ask questions. We find out new things all the time when I ask questions.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's a net positive when I ask questions.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Unlike you. All we get from him is like, oh, 1973, I love this song. Whatever. We know you love old music.
No, that he can recall
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's an old bit. Now we know he fell out the 20-year-old.
So you want to find out about the...
The new stuff.
The roughing up that's, the suspect
that's
bit.
That's an old bit.
The new stuff, the neat stuff. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Mining for gold.
Yeah, and I found some. You cut me off.
No, he did.
We could have been rich.
But we couldn't have been rich. And John also realized you were leading a witness. Yeah. That's true.
It's not leading to ask a question. He can.
It was the line of questioning was, we objected to the line of questioning.
He can answer it any way he chooses.
Your Honor, argumentative, leading a witness.
He could have said, I found a new love for tennis. Instead, he's talking about a 20-year-old. Like
to, Your Honor, relevance. That's what somebody would have come up with. I'll see where this takes us.
Yeah, let's see where it's going. Be careful, counselor.
Be careful, counselor. I get the feeling in real court, I wouldn't know this, but any of you lawyers are listening, y'all know our number, 713-780-3776. Does it really happen like that where they go, I'll allow it, but be careful, counselor? Like, does that really happen, or is it, it's just probably just sustained, overruled, right?
I don't know.
You better be careful on this one, counselor. It gets to the point of fact, Your Honor.
Oh, according to a source, the Rockets are working with the NBA office to review video of James Harden at a strip club. If the video circulating on social media is verified to be recent, it is a violation of league's COVID protocols, which put Harden's availability for tonight's opener in jeopardy.
James' master plan is working.
I mean, Rockets Twitter is all, well, nothing, all, you know, throwing the basketball, that's not a big deal. That's just competitive stuff. If y'all don't think James is trying anything possible not to play games for the Rockets, knock it off.
Yeah. No,
play.
He knew.
Yeah.
And he's playing to the camera on this deal without a mask on at a strip club. Huh.
What, you won't suspend me for being a pain in the ass during practice? Look what I'll do.
What? Watch.
I'll do this.
How about this?
I don't want to play for you guys. Mm. Get it done.
Ugh. What a drama. What a soap opera. It sucks. Jerry's here. Wants to talk about his Texans. What do you say, Jerry?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I just want to touch base about what you just said about Harden. Harden jumped the shark about 2 years ago. It's time to move on from this guy. Are you going to get anything worth his value in return? No, but with a young coach and maybe some young players on here, I'm pretty optimistic about what the Rockets are going to be able to do this year. But I think it's just a matter of time before Boogie comes down with an injury. I just think he's got too much wear in the tires. But I think you just have to maximize his trade value. I really like the idea of getting Brown from the self. But I just would not give James Harden what he wants and move him with Daryl Morey. I don't understand this.
Nope.
Go ahead.
I'm with you. I wouldn't either. Daryl doesn't just get what he wants after running the Rockets into a dead end. and James doesn't get what he wants. Nope. You want more. If you want James Harden, I'm with you. You pay for it, and you pay for it dearly, or he goes somewhere else. I'm at the point where I might not even be willing to give him to Daryl Morey.
Well, what if it's if it's the best deal, what if he gives you Ben Simmons?
If it's the best deal,
Ben
you have
Simmons
to.
Ben Simmons is not the best deal. Ben Simmons is not the best deal. The guy has all the athletic ability in the world, but guess what? In basketball, you need to be able to shoot. Ben Simmons is not enough. And to be honest with you, I don't even want Joel Embiid. The 76ers, if you're trying to do what's best for this organization, you do not even pick up the phone for the 76ers. If Harden wants to play hardball with you, guess what? You can play hardball with him. You want to get out of Houston? That's fine. We're gonna do what's best for our organization. You sign the contract. We have power over you. You either play with us or we're going to send you where we think what is best for us. We've treated this guy with kid gloves ever since he signed with us. And I get it. He's a great player. NBA players, they have the most value in any sport, any of the major sports. I get it. But guess what? You want out of town? Okay, we'll accommodate that. But we're going to do what's best for us. And if Daryl picks up the phone, he either bends over like he did for OKC, or you don't accept that trade. You move on. Real quick, guys, I just want to talk about the Texans and that elitist organization. When that Jamie Roots guy came on and started peddling his book, you guys did ask him a question about O'Brien, and he kind of brushed the question off. Obviously, he didn't want to touch the subject. But he said, our next coach, we don't want to have an ego. I didn't really understand that response. I know he was talking about Bill, but Bill had an ego coming in, as do all NFL coaches. They all, players, coaches, you and I, we all have egos, just depending on how big it is, whatever. But when you have an organization, and his organization, that stokes that ego and keeps giving this guy more and more power, it almost seems like the Texans are trying to they're trying to sidestep. They're trying to get away from the situation and, you know, say this was all Bill, this was all Bill. But let's look at the leadership. Bill O'Brien was only doing what they allowed him to do, and that comes from the top down. And I'm sure Jamie Roots, I know he was the, you know, whatever he does with the business, I'm sure he was in on some of those conversations. But the way that Bill O'Brien dismantled this organization and basically the culture that was be able to stand in that deal, you can't blame that all on Bill O'Brien. You have to look at that all the way from Bob McNair to Cal McNair, all the way down. And if you guys, I have no faith in this organization on how it's going to change. I was a season ticket holder up until this year, and I just got fed up with it. All they did was raise the ticket prices. Even in losing years, they raised the ticket prices. And I understand it's a business, but they don't know what they're doing. They have the golden goose. It's going to continue to make money, and they're going to do whatever. I mean, it's bumbling fools that are running that organization.
Jerry, we're going to have
no
to cut
faith
it
in it at all.
Jerry, yep. We got to cut it there. It's 9:30. ESPN 97.5. We're up against it. We'll talk about some.
A lot of valid points in there.
Some stuff though that. Listen, Bill O'Brien was pulling the trigger. And Jamie Roots doesn't make football.
No. But it goes higher than more the owner allows it.
No. Absolutely. Yeah. No, this is squarely on Cal.
Yeah. Squarely. Jamie can't do anything about Bill O'Brien.
No, 9:30 ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's a severe case of my
9:33 here on The Bench. It's our last show until January 4th. John Granato, Lance Zierlein, Del Olale. So Gators star basketball player Keontae Johnson has been diagnosed with inflammation of the heart inflammation. After an on-court collapse, he was in critical condition at one point in the hospital. He is better now. He's been diagnosed with heart inflammation. It may be related to an earlier COVID infection. Johnson was released from hospital on Tuesday, more than a week after collapsing mid-game against Florida State. This gets to the point we were making. We had Dr. Burkholder make that. I was doing commercials for CoreMed. Even young athletes in great shape, and this is a concern, is if he had heart inflammation and didn't know it, it can pop up. It could kill you. I mean, it could kill a young athlete. If you have something related to a myocarditis related to your to COVID, which happens too, it could be fatal to you. It is so important if you've had COVID, or just if you just want to get your heart checked, you may have congenital issues. I'm telling you, CoreMedSolutions.com. CoreMedSolutions.com. They're here in Houston. They'll get you checked out. I don't want to see it happen to any of our listeners, any of your kids, any of your young athletes. Don't want to see any of that stuff happen. And because it can happen now after COVID, and so many people have had COVID, it's definitely worth getting your heart health checked out. So just a PSA for some of our listeners out there. It's 9:35. Let's get who is that, Alan? Yeah, Alex. Let's get, who is it, Dale?
No, Alex.
Oh, it's Alex. Hey, what's up, Alex?
You can't see that?
Hey, guys. Just a couple of things. With James Harden, if he wants to go, he can go. But, like, I think that what we should do is we should make him facilitate his own trade. If you want to go, by all means, go. Get us the bag. You go get us the bag. You keep pissing in your own Cheerios. If you want to go, you're being disgruntled. You're ruining your trade value, so we can't get rid of you. If you want to go, go find your own trade. Bring it back to us. If it's worth it, if it's acceptable, we'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. Done.
Yeah, it's not the first time that would have happened. That actually happens all the time, where agents have to go find a trade for the team. You're right. You got your bag. Now we want our bag. So get us a bag for you.
You're not. His actions, his whole demeanor is just negatively affecting the flow of this process. If we're going to turn this into a business thing, then let's be businessmen about it. Don't.
He's not.
You know, like, come on, man.
He's being a petulant child. He's not. He's doing everything he can to sabotage this. And now it's making it harder and harder. Throwing the basketball at you, yelling at teammates, strip clubs, showing up late. It's becoming an untenable situation. If he gets suspended here, and then there's the contact as well. If James practiced with his teammates and they were sweating on each other and go low post and defend, well, James really doesn't get close to a guy defending him.
He's a great low post defender.
Oh, that's right. Contact tracing, the whole team might have to sit. They might have to cancel the game because James Harden went to the strip club and contact tracing. That's what the Big Ten would do, every guy, because James probably had close contact with every player on that team in a practice. Probably every single player he's had close contact with. So now what does the league do? Risk everybody on Oklahoma City as well? I mean, I'm not holier than thou, and I've gone to play and whatnot. Yes, I'm not an NBA. I didn't have to follow NBA protocol. NBA protocol, if you want to know the truth, they should probably cancel tonight's game.
Yeah, if they're following their rules, the game shouldn't be played.
Yes, yes.
It could end up, if James did have it, it would be a super spreader event.
Yeah.
Now, because you don't know who's been around James, and you don't know
if he's practiced since then. Yes, he's been around. He's been in close contact with everybody.
You really should cancel probably the next two and make sure all the tests come back negative. You really should.
I mean, it depends on when he was there.
It's better than it running through a team or running through teams and canceling, you know, 10 days worth of games for two different teams.
Listen, the NBA is going to have a real problem this year. If you thought baseball with the Marlins and the Cardinals was a problem, wait till you see this.
If he was there on Monday, that means at least he got in another practice on Tuesday, yesterday. So that means if they practice, that means anyone who came in contact is an issue. And if you're Oklahoma City, remember Oklahoma City was the last game that was canceled before the shutdown was Oklahoma City. They were going to play, and then they got word was Utah in Oklahoma City, and they're like, nope, can't do it, can't play. I think it was that scenario. So they couldn't. Why would you subject Oklahoma City to that potential?
Yeah.
You shouldn't play the. If it turns out you can verify that this happened within the last couple of days, there should be no game.
Yeah. No, that's where the league should go. And send a message. And who was it? Oh, the Clevenger, and remember? Because yeah, they sent them away.
They rolled off to a casino or whatever.
And everybody was pissed at them. I can imagine Rockets players are like, really, James? We know you don't want to be here, but you're throwing basketballs at us,
and now we can't play?
Now we can't play?
If that happens.
And you're risking, us getting COVID and everything that goes along with
it? No one is trying to trade Harden for Dwayne Haskins, okay? They're not doing a Haskins for Harden straight-up trade.
Well,
all right. So stop.
Well, no.
They play in different sports.
It's strip clubs are like, we ain't trading Harden for Haskins. And they're like, are you kidding me? We're trading. James Harden is the Michael Jordan of strip clubs.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins is a rookie.
Yeah, on a rookie deal. James has Adidas money. James has max contract money. A strip club would never make it. A strip club would never make the trade. And the teams can't. They're in different sports. Okay.
Well, I know, but I'm just.
We haven't even talked about the. Dwayne Haskins is such a dumbass. They're literally fighting for a playoff spot, and he's in a strip club with strippers all over him, throwing when cash in his hand. This is Sunday after the game. No mask, no nothing. So now the NFL has got to ban him, so he'll be out for however long. He'll have to get put on reserve COVID list. He's going to potentially cost his team where he's going to have to, although if it happened Sunday and he didn't and he never went in to the facility on a Monday, he's apologized for just, you know, I saw somebody on Twitter said, hey, he's a young guy who's blowing off steam. Like, shut up. Uh-huh. He's 24-year-old millionaire who's the leader of a team. Stop making, you can blow off steam a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be maskless in a strip club. And stop making excuses.
Yeah, if it was so common, how come all the other young quarterbacks aren't doing something so stupid? And by the way, of COVID issues getting you in trouble, the Texans got fined. Well, they fined themselves.
For what?
Yeah.
The Deshaun thing.
Left
the bench. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 7,500, I think Deshaun got hit with.
Breaking news, former Texans coach Jed Fish leaving the Patriots to become Arizona Wildcats' new head coach.
Hmm. Oh, he's with the Patriots?
He's with the Patriots.
What was he doing?
How about Jed Fish? He had a daughter that was Frankie's age, and he used to bring her over. He was the Texans defensive quality control coach.
Uh-huh.
After he was a graduate assistant at Florida,
and
his break was coming here and be.
So was Robert Saleh.
Yeah, Robert Saleh as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Fish and his wife and his daughter used to come over to our house, and the girls would play together.
He was the quarterback coach for the Patriots this year. Was an offensive coordinator at UCLA, Michigan pass game coordinator, Jags offensive coordinator at Miami, and now he gets a head coaching job at Arizona.
Yep.
Following Kevin Sumlin, there's some talk of Antonio Pierce, the Arizona State defensive coordinator,
yes,
and former Arizona player getting that job.
What is Marvin Lewis then?
But Marvin Lewis is still Arizona State.
You mean Herm? Edwards?
No, you said Arizona State.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a coordinator. Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, I think Marvin Lewis was an analyst/helper.
Oh wait, Marvin was not the coordinator?
No, I believe it was Antonio Pierce.
Everyone talks about Marvin Lewis's defense.
Well, he might be helping
on TV. Everyone talks about boy Marvin Lewis's defense is really doing a great job here.
I was watching the USC game. With them when they played Arizona State.
Yeah.
They called Antonio Pierce the coordinator.
Okay.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll get more.
Oh, they're co. Maybe they're co because he's the co-defense coordinator there.
More Harden talk to finish up our year with Lance here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Nice.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Lance's last segment, unless he sticks around a little bit, but usually he beats it at 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, we got some people want to get in here about James Harden. What do you say, Jeffrey?
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about if the NBA finds that James Harden did violate protocols, Houston isn't deemed as a national market for whatever reason, even though it should, but he would be the perfect star to bring the hammer down in terms of the COVID enforcement, suspend him without pay for every game he's missed, for whatever amount of days needs to be, to set an example to every other star to say, hey, you're going to lose $1 million or $2 million if you violate protocol. If you want to go to the club, fine, but we can't lose billions of dollars of revenue because we already lost billions last year. We're not like the NFL where only one season affected. The NBA is going to have two seasons affected, potentially three if people aren't going to buy season tickets, you know, next year. So they really need to bring the hammer down, and I'm a James Harden fan. And in fact, one other thing I want to talk about is Vince Carter. People talk about James playing bad. Vince Carter did that when the NBA didn't have gambling ties now, where they want to do DraftKings or whatever. I think the NBA is going to tell James also he can't play bad. You have to play well because we can't risk point shaving accusations from you or something like that with the bettors. The casinos, they're going to want to make sure their lines aren't messed with. So if anybody calls in and says James might play bad, that's not going to happen either. So I see Tillman. I want to see where this game of chicken goes. I would love to see James suspended without pay for conduct detrimental to the team, and he loses all $50 million if he doesn't want to play for us. So I just want to talk about that with the NBA bringing the hammer down, and I really hope to see where this game of chicken goes. And I'm perfectly fine suspending James without pay and seeing if he's cool with losing $50 million.
Before you hang up, Jeffrey, we know you why are you rebranding as Jeffrey? Do you not like that we do the trades that we call you Trader Jeff? Like that's just a fun nickname.
Oh, I like it. My okay. Dad thinks it's funny.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But why are you Jeffrey on the screen today? Is this like Mitchell Trubisky?
The guy asked my name and I said Jeff or Jeffrey.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if this was a Mitch.
Trader Jeff, just for you, Lance.
I didn't know if this is a Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky thing. Just trying to make, just making sure.
Tony Dorsett.
Last segment of the year.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Jeffrey. Jeff, if that's really your name.
Trying to win a Heisman. Joe Theismann to Theismann. What are you trying to do? See you, Jeffrey. Jeffrey.
If that's really your name.
Maybe he doesn't want to be Jeff because sounds like a stepdad.
Yeah, that is true.
But he's Trader Jeff.
Yeah.
He makes all the trade.
And to his point, it would be a second violation in a matter of a month for James. Remember, he violated him when he was at the parties with the baby. That was a violation of protocol. If it's a second violation in a matter of a month, they have to bring the hammer down. You would think so.
We'll see. I just think the NBA, I think Adam Silver has just let the players do whatever they want, and he doesn't want to be viewed as unfair. We'll see. Maybe I'm being too hard on Adam Silver. Maybe Adam Silver will. Whoa. The right thing would be James gets a strong fine and gets a firm punishment.
He gets suspended.
You have to.
But you know what? If you suspend him, you're giving him exactly what he wants.
It doesn't matter. This is bigger than James. This is about COVID protocol for the NBA, not the trade stuff for the Rockets. They have to make, if they let this go soft, if they let this go without a stronger punishment. If they let this go without a stronger punishment, you're basically sending a message around the NBA.
Then he's weak A. Is what he is. Yeah. Weak Adam.
With some soft D, apparently.
Well, James does play soft D now.
He does quite a bit.
because the NBA is going to have some major. The NBA is going to have some major issues. You basically need to say, okay, teams, we will fine you $100,000 if we see this, and players will fine you, teams will fine you $150,000. Players will fine you $50,000 to $75,000 every time. Every time there's a violation that is out there in public, A, they'll at least not put it on social media, and B, maybe they won't They won't do this.
We remember in the bubble, Lou had to shut himself down for days. Bruno Caboclo had to be self-isolated.
Crossing a line
for
to get
10
food.
Days.
Yeah.
He had to be out of it for 10 days, locked in his room. Particularly when they think about the timeline, if this happened this week and James had a practice, he's not only putting himself at risk, he's putting your games at risk. They got to say, they made him go 6 consecutive days with negative tests the first time. However many games you miss during this next 6-day period, those are games without pay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's just how it is until you test back in. And then they should probably fine him anyway for breaking protocol.
Well, it's not any different. Well, it's different than Daniel House, but Daniel House, I mean,
they sent him home.
You break protocol, guess what? You're out. And James is going to be out now. And I'm telling you, this has got to be the last straw for the Rockets, because this was so obvious, James' game plan here.
Mm-hmm.
So obvious.
And if it comes down today, particularly the NBA says, well, for safety reasons, you guys can't play tonight. How do you let him come back?
You don't. I mean, you can't. As a teammate, that entire team should just go, we can't do this. We just can't. We cannot do this anymore. But John Wall, John Wall has said no. James, you know what? Off the court, I don't. You know what? Whatever he's doing. John Wall yesterday said James is still one of our leaders, and he's playing hard, and he's practicing hard, doing all these things.
We know from experience, you can't really trust players in these situations.
No, you can't. Especially another star.
No,
defending a star. Let's get Daryl in here. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hello? How you doing, Daryl? How you doing?
I'm all right. I feel like what they should, the NBA should do is just forfeit the game. Since he want to be in the strip club, we'll just forfeit the whole game and just put him as a straight loss. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Y'all have a great day and a blessed holiday.
You know, if you do, that would send a huge message. Huge message to every player out there. You forfeit the game, your team loses, you broke protocol, we ain't putting up with it. But Adam Silver is too weak.
Yeah, and until your teammates test out and are safe, you forfeit every game that we deem is unsafe for the other team.
Yeah.
Until it's rectified.
And you've lost those games. Now, well done, sir. Well done.
Well, you know people what? Will that take it a lot more serious.
That would be a deterrent.
If you don't come up with a deterrent,
yeah,
the players are going to just you're going to lose a chunk of your season. It'll look like college football. Like, well, these 6 games have been postponed. These 2 have been canceled.
In this schedule,
and then you'll have players opting out in the middle of the year, just saying, "Well, I don't think it's safe. I'm opting out."
This schedule does not promote. There is you want to talk about
not
no leeway,
room. No wiggle, room.
None. All right, this is your last show of the year.
Would you like to say something?
What was your favorite moment of the show?
My favorite part was bringing in Tornado Dabs to the show. It shows like when something's really awesome.
Well, to show everybody on Twitch what a tornado
does. Haven't seen this. You just get a spin. And go, but it's like, well, it's or I can stand up and just go. And I'm spinning and dabbing. It's called a tornado dab.
I think my favorite dab has something to do with, you know, shoulder movement or your lack thereof. My favorite moment is shoulder herpes.
Look at this.
Yeah. That's your favorite moment?
That's my favorite moment of the year, shoulder herpes.
That's a terrible moment.
Because it's forever?
Forever. And we will continue to hammer it home until he actually has full movement in that shoulder.
No. I told him, I've got a bad shoulder.
Stop.
It's forever.
You're not extending your arms. You look like a T-Rex. Now rotate.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Look at him.
See?
You didn't do anything.
Look at this.
Ooh.
Raise it above your head.
He looks like a dragon flying.
Look at him. All stiff. He hurt himself, see? It hurt.
I still got to keep working on it.
Stop.
It's getting better.
Stop letting us bait you into re-hurting your arm.
No, you're such a... He's such a stick pointer. Just
pick. Raised your arm. No, okay. I can raise my arm.
Look at this.
My arm hurts. You're leaning back. That doesn't count.
No,
you're leaning
back. It's an
back.
Optical illusion to trick you.
Yeah. Shoulder herpes. That's my
That's my least favorite thing of 2020. My least favorite thing was COVID. My most favorite thing was tornado dabs. And my other most favorite thing is Roostar's corn with
an egg.
With an egg.
You know how I know you're not a real one?
What?
You're not a real one. My least favorite moment is saying goodbye to a good friend.
Who?
Raheel.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I still talk to Raheel.
But he's not. But he's not about the people.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's not a teammate. He's okay.
My most favorite moment is when Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock fought on the air.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty
good. That was really good.
And then my second most favorite is, no, the most cringeworthy for me was Fred and AJ. Yeah. I was like, this isn't fun.
No, that wasn't.
This is creepy.
You know, Creighton, that was fun. That was good.
Fun.
That was great because they were calling each other ugly names.
Like, well, yeah.
Fred and AJ, that was uncomfortable.
My favorite is when
I was uncomfortable.
When John and Fred got new hair. It's kind of my favorite.
Well, that was last year.
Listening.
I got new hair last year.
In 2019?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because it didn't fill in until February.
It wasn't in 2020?
It was last summer. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. But, I mean, it became full and glorious.
Yes.
Yeah, in February
my
of this
favorite
year.
One of my favorite moments is John's live spots.
Which one?
The Linville line spots. Because, you know, he talks about his hair and then he references
Fred. Yeah, it's also my least favorite moment.
No, it's my favorite moment because
where he talks about Fred and ponytails.
A certain person's reaction to every time he mentions someone.
Yeah, he's just so cringeworthy.
You love it.
My favorite is watching John have to deal with John Clay Wolf potentially getting him kicked off the air.
Mm-hmm. That's something.
With
that
comments.
Is something special. One of my favorite moments is Maddie on the air.
Yeah. Snitch mode.
Yep. She had another she
said this yesterday. This is real. We're walking, looking at lights in River Oaks, and her and Snacks are talking about something Santa Claus related. She goes, you know, technically, Santa Claus is a home invader. And I said, what? He's technically a home invader.
It's not a new thought, actually.
He doesn't, you keep your doors locked.
She's got a point.
You don't let him in. She said, I'm glad he comes, but technically he is a home invader.
He is breaking into your home.
And I thought, this is the most Mahdi thing you've ever seen. You look at Santa as a home invader. I mean.
Let's break it down. A man is dressed up to disguise himself.
Mm-hmm. And who keeps his eyes on kids all the time.
Another thing we don't have to get into. Doors are locked.
Takes your milk and your cookies. Comes in from
stuff. He sneaks into your home while you're asleep.
Sneaks into your home.
And takes stuff. And, you know, robbers have left stuff behind. Thankfully, Santa's not leaving a poo behind. He's leaving presents. But she's not wrong. He is breaking and entering.
It is a B&E.
No question. No question.
Is it considered breaking and entering if you leave a window unlocked, for example? That's still B&E.
Yes.
So coming through a chimney is still.
Yeah.
But if you come in and you leave stuff,
someone's home through a chimney.
If you come in and leave stuff, that's technically not a theft, but it is still a B&E.
Yeah. Yep.
So he is a home invader.
959 ESPN 97.5. Lance is beating it right here. And we'll talk to him again next year.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.